When you think of a weapon system, you know, you probably picture drones or missiles or tanks. It's loud, physical, and drawn on a map.
Yeah, but today we are looking at a completely different battlefield, one where the weapons are, well, invisible. They are made of code and they move at the speed of light.
Right. Welcome to a new deep dive into the collision of modern warfare, cryptocurrency, and economic policy. We are pulling from a really heavy stack of sources today.
We are. We've got U.S. Treasury reports, blockchain analytics on crypto crime, and actual military doctrine on something called Money as a Weapon System, or MAAWS.
And just a quick impartiality note before we jump in, we are going to neutrally report on the geopolitical maneuvers and legislative actions in these sources. We are not here to endorse any political viewpoints.
Exactly. We just want to decode the geopolitical chess match happening on the blockchain, show you how sanctioned nations bypass the global banking system, and how the U.S. is fighting back to maintain dollar dominance.
Traditional financial sanctions used to be this definitive chokehold, like cut a country off from the US dollar and their economy stalls out.
Right, that was the old playbook.
But here's where it gets really interesting. The analytics in these reports show a massive pivot. States like Russia, Iran, and North Korea are bypassing those controls by building an industrialized parallel financial infrastructure.
And the scale of this axis of illicit finance is just, I mean, it's what really stands out. Russia passed legislation in 2024, and within 10 months, their ruble-backed A7A5 stablecoin processed $93 billion.
$93 billion. That is wild.
Yeah. And Iran has moved over $3 billion just to support regional proxy militias.
And then you have North Korea. Right. They are laundering stolen funds through DeFi mixers. It's basically a digital, untraceable shell game.
Oh, totally. They use mixing services like Tornado Cash and route assets through cross-chain bridges to completely obscure where the money comes from or where it's going.
Which is a huge problem.
It is, because this directly affects global market stability. I mean, think about it. If sanctioned states can freely move billions without relying on a single Western bank, the entire concept of a financial sanction loses its teeth.
But the US isn't just watching these billions move in the dark, right? Because adversaries are exploiting this unregulated space, the US realized they have to build a controlled digital alternative.
Right, which brings us to the U.S. counteroffensive. That is the driving logic behind the Genius Act of July 2025.
Okay, let's unpack this legislation.
So it creates what are called Permitted Payment Stablecoin Issuers, or PPSIs. The core mandate is that if a private company wants to issue a U.S. dollar-backed stablecoin, they legally must have the technical capability to screen, block, and freeze illicit transactions globally.
Even on secondary markets.
Yes, even when those tokens are trading on secondary markets.
Okay, wait, let me push back on that mechanics-wise. If blockchains are inherently decentralized, you know, how can the government realistically force a private company to freeze decentralized secondary market funds?
It seems contradictory, right? But it comes down to how programmable stablecoins are built at the protocol level.
Okay.
While the secondary market is decentralized, the stablecoin itself is governed by a smart contract. The Treasury relies on new tech, like AI, APIs, and advanced analytics, to spot real-time on-chain risk.
So they require issuers to hold a centralized master key within that smart contract code.
Exactly. So the issuer can trigger a function that instantly blacklists a specific wallet address, freezing the underlying asset wherever it sits on the ledger.
Wow. So the US is basically giving itself the capability to globally track and freeze digital money.
Yep.
And looking at the military doctrine in our sources, this isn't entirely unprecedented. It reads like a modern digital evolution of MAWS, right? Money as a weapon system.
It absolutely does. In the wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the military used the Commander's Emergency Response Program, or CER. The idea was to use physical cash as ammunition to win hearts and minds.
Paying for local infrastructure, compensating civilians, that kind of thing.
Right. But the reports highlight severe pitfalls with that analog approach. Billions were spent with really poor oversight.
Because handing out bags of easily stolen physical cash fueled local corruption, it crowded out AGOs.
And sometimes injecting that much liquidity into a fragile ecosystem actively increased local violence.
Jeez.
But now, apply the Genius Act and programmable stablecoins to that exact doctrine. Instead of handing pallets of physical cash to a potentially corrupt local official, a military commander can drop funds directly into a local civilian's digital wallet.
Oh, wow. That completely bypasses the middleman.
Exactly. It creates a direct economic bond between the U.S. and the local populace. You mitigate the physical risk, ensure funds hit their exact targets, and if the money is intercepted, you use that centralized master key to instantly freeze it.
It transforms economic power into a highly precise digital munition.
It really does. Apply MAAWS directly to future digital warfare.
So the digital money you use every day, whether to buy coffee or, you know, send a remittance, it runs on the exact technology that is now the active front line of a geopolitical conflict.
The battlefield has fundamentally changed.
Which leaves you with a really provocative thought to ponder. If the U.S. successfully weaponizes stablecoins to instantly freeze an adversary's funds anywhere on Earth, does that secure global peace?
Or does it simply force those adversaries to abandon public ledgers entirely, creating a completely impenetrable dark web internet of money where the U.S. has zero visibility?